Well, guys, good morning. I want to introduce to you this morning the Clark family. As we get into the message this morning, John and Teresa Clark, they've been married now for 9 years, and they are really loving life. I mean, this stage of life is really a good time for them. They love it with their 7-year-old son, Tyler, their 5-year-old daughter, Jackie. Their kids are the life, and I know a lot of you can relate to that, right? I mean, you love your kids. You love hanging out with your kids. They especially, it might seem a little strange, they actually love shuttling at this point anyway, back and forth between soccer and dance and baseball and piano. I mean, yeah, it gets hectic, but the kids love it. They've met some good families and made some good friends along the way. And I know some of you couldn't care less, but has anybody recognized that it's football season, right? Huh? Come on. And where the Clarks live in North Carolina, man, they are in wolf pack country. They're diehard NC State fans all the way. They have pack pride. Last season, the Clarks sacrificed to buy season tickets, and they got into tailgating. They found out that was it was a great atmosphere. They loved it. It was a lot of fun. They enjoyed it so much last season that this season they sacrificed again to buy tickets, and then they decided, hey, we need to take it a step further. We need to get better at this tailgating thing. So they bought a fifth-wheel camper, and they camp out on Friday nights at the stadium there for Saturday morning games, and they have just a blast. Now, as you might imagine, when Sunday rolls around, they are worn slick out, especially if it's a Wolfpack weekend. On Sunday morning, when the calendar's clear, John and Teresa, they usually roll over in the morning and they give each other that look like, well. And after a few moments of silence, it's usually Teresa who asks, so, are we going to go to church today? And after a few moments of silence, well, John usually throws it back on her. You see, the Clarks, they've been attending a local church there where they're at, around 800 folks there for a couple of years. They themselves profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. They both trusted Christ at different ages, but it was in their teenage years. And John often, he throws the question back on Teresa. I don't know. I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, we could just worship at St. Mattress Cathedral this morning. They kind of have a big laugh sometimes, but anyway. About once a month, when their calendar's clear and they can muster up enough energy and want to, they go to church. Now, John and Teresa, they value a lot of things in life, but church isn't really one of them. It's not that they're anti-church. They're not mad at the church. They've not been hurt by the church. If John were being honest, he would just say, you know what? I don't really value the church. That's the title of this morning's message. I don't value the church. Today we're going to continue in our Christian Atheist series. A Christian atheist is somebody who claims to believe in God but lives like God does not really exist. And the one this morning that says that he or she believes in Jesus but does not place a high priority, that has a low value on church, a low value on church membership, a low value on church fellowship and church ministry. They are no doubt living as a Christian atheist. You see, guys, God has no other plan for the Christian, for you and me, until he returns, other than the church. It is of the highest priority to Christ, but too often it is a low priority for Christians. Many times on Sunday morning, it kind of becomes the default substitute for what we do on a Sunday morning if nothing else is going on. Now, I'm not talking about the world here, right? I mean, I get why the world doesn't come to church. I mean, why would they? We worship Jesus here. But Christians? I mean, I'm talking about Christians. For Christian church should be of the highest priority, especially on Sunday morning, which is the Lord's day. Sunday, according to Scripture, is His day. But all over America, we're seeing church attendance decreasing. And do you know what the number one reason is for that? I'm going to spell it out for you. If you're taking notes, write this down. FREQUENCY. What do you got? Frequency. Church growth expert Tom Rainer, he said this at his blog. He said, stated simply, the number one reason for the decline in church attendance is that members attend with less frequency than they did just a few years ago. Frequency is how many times in a given month a person attends church. And today in 2016, your average church member attends church 2 or 3 times a month. It's just not valued as highly as it once was in previous generations. Now listen, I get it, guys. I understand. You will never hear Ben say, every time the doors are open, you must be here. I'm not saying that at all. But, guys, it is the Lord's Day. And this is God's plan for us. I mean, what you're doing here, I'm so thankful that you're here on this Sunday morning, on this Lord's Day. But I know there are reasons for all this that it's happening. Work schedules are increasingly including Sundays. I get that. Today, people, especially in our area, you have more money, which means you have more options. You're traveling, you're going to events, things like that. And there's a higher focus on children's events, children's activities, such as travel teams and all sorts of other things. People are indeed busier and have less margin in their lives for rest. And so Sunday becomes just a day of rest, a day to just hang around the house, a day to just get stuff done. I mean, I get it. Church is being squeezed out. But listen to me very closely, beloved. We are not victims. We're allowing it to happen, are we not? Who controls your schedule? You do. And why are we letting it happen? Let's be honest. Because we simply don't value church as we ought. I pray today that we would raise the esteem of church, that we would take it from a lower priority to a higher priority for you today through the preaching of this message. Here's today's takeaway I want you to bury in your heart. Every Christian should love the church, connect to the church, and engage in the church. Now, I'm not talking about the church universal. I'm not talking about the church worldwide, the church historical. I mean, yeah, I mean, that we do need to love and connect and engage and all those things in that realm, but I'm primarily talking about what we have right here. A local church, a local body of believers. So maybe our takeaway would be better phrased this way. If you're taking notes today, maybe take all the these in the takeaway and replace it with a. So it would say this: every Christian should love a church, connect to a church, and engage in a church. We're going to look at all three verbs this morning: love, connect, and engage. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help us to understand your view. Here's a moment today, God. Like every Sunday, but especially on this topic, Father, where we get to have our mind molded to you. We want to be molded to your word. We have a culture out here that wants to shape us. Father, we got to resist that. We are your people, and we are built on your word. We want to think how you think and see things how you see them. And so, Father, today, would you change our minds? And in doing so, God, would you change our hearts and then change our lives? Father, if there's anyone here today who is apart from Christ, I pray today through the preaching of the word and the witness of this gathered body of believers in Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, today would be the day that that person runs to Jesus in repentance, faith, and love. And today they're saved. We know that you're able to save anybody, Lord. And so today I would pray would be the day that anyone who is without Jesus today would be the day they trust in Christ and are saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. So every Christian should love the church, connect to the church, and engage in the church. And so the operative question that you and I are going to use here as we look at each of these verbs is the word why. We're going to ask the why question with each of these, okay? So first, why should every Christian love the church? And here's the answer: because loving the church is part of following Jesus. Jesus called every one of us, you, me, every one of us who's a Christian, in Mark 8:34, to deny ourselves, take up his cross, and do what, church? Follow him. Where Jesus goes, we go. What Jesus does, we do. What Jesus hates, we hate. And what Jesus loves, we love. Beloved, every one of us who are Christians, we're called to follow Jesus, to imitate Jesus, to surrender to the lordship of Jesus. So let me ask this one question. Does Jesus love the church? Does he? Well, let's look at the Bible and see. I mean, I don't want you to just give me an answer. I want to see what the Bible says. So go with me to Ephesians 5 this morning. This is going to be the first text. We're going to look at three texts. We're looking at a text with each verb this morning. Love, connect, engage. And so the first text is going to be Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. And we're going to find out here, does Jesus love the church? Here's where we get the teaching about the relationship between a husband and a wife. And to do so, what does Paul do? Well, he tells us about the relationship between Jesus and the church. And so Ephesians 5, 25 through 32 says this. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Do you see the depth of love here that Jesus has for the church? Guys, he died for her. He's working to make her holy. He's striving to make her beautiful. He's one with the church. The church is Jesus' bride. And so to sum it all up, does he love the church? Yes! And if you're to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must follow Jesus in loving the church as well. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things out in the world. People who are down on the church. Some of these people would call themselves Christians, and they very well might be. But they're going to say things like this. I ain't going to church because it's full of all them hypocrites down there. Now, the one that usually says that usually comes from a person, just being honest, who is prideful and is not self-aware enough to know that they are a hypocrite also. They usually love themselves more than they love the church. You might hear people say something like, I ain't getting involved in that organized religion. Guys, people who say that comes from a person who doesn't understand that it was God who told the apostles, who led the apostles of Jesus Christ to organize the church and ordained the offices of the church. God loved you and me so much that he organized the church, and we should love that it is organized. You might hear, well, I ain't got to go to church to worship Jesus. And you know what? That's true. You don't. You don't have to go to church to worship Jesus, but you also don't have to be home ever to love your children and your spouse, do you? I mean, can't you love your children and spouse from Texas? Yeah, you can. But let me ask you this. How loving would it be if you never came home and you never spent time with them? Would they think that you love them? Absolutely not. You don't have to go to church to worship Jesus, but listen to this closely. You do. You have to love the church if you want to follow Jesus. Okay? If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to love the church. And that which you love, you spend time with. Or you might hear this one here as well. I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. That's like saying, I love Ben, but Christy, I can do without her. I mean, come on, man. That's my bride you're talking about. Man, we're one. To not care about her is to not care about me. I mean, just imagine saying this to Jesus. Jesus, I love you, but your bride is ugly. I mean, can you just imagine that going over well? I mean, I can't see it. Kelly Baptist Church, over in Hopkinsville, is about 5 miles away from where I used to be the associate pastor at Crofton Baptist. This year, Kelly Baptist, they are celebrating their 175th anniversary, and there was just an article about their church in the Western Recorder, which is the Kentucky Baptist newspaper. And in that story about the anniversary, they quote Harold Lancaster. Harold, he's one of the deacons at Kelly, and he's attended there for more than 60 years. And when he was talking about his love for his church, here's what Harold said. Listen to this. I think this is good. He said, I've always said there are three things you can't talk about. One is my wife. Second is my church. And the last is my pastor. You know what? That's a man that loves his church. I don't know anything else about Harold's life, but I know this. I know this about his life. In his love for the church, he is following Jesus. Loving the church is part of following Jesus. Every Christian should love the church. But also this morning, I want you to see that every Christian should also connect to the church. Connect to the church. Remember, the operative question is why. So why should every Christian connect to the church? And here's the answer. Connecting to the church brings you under the God-ordained watch care for your soul. Connecting to the church brings you under the God-ordained watch care for your soul. It does other things too, but this is the thing I want to focus on here this morning. As we read the unfolding story of the early church, we see a pattern. That we see that they're constantly doing this, and we should take notice when they're doing the same thing over and over. And here's what we see. In the early church, everywhere the gospel went, God led the apostles to appoint elders in every local church. For instance, Acts 14:23 says, and when Paul and Barnabas had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We read this in Titus 1:5. This is why I, Paul, left you, Titus, in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Do you see the pattern there? I mean, this happened over and over. Now, for us contemporary Baptists, the word elder there, that sounds really Church of Christ-ish or very Presbyterian, okay? It's a term that you and I were less familiar with, but in the New Testament, it's there. It's all over the place. The Bible actually uses three words to talk about the office that I fulfill here at church and the office that Mark fulfills here at the South Campus. It uses the word elder, it uses the word overseer, and it uses the word pastor. All three of those words refer to the same office, the office that we here at Eastwood call pastor. But you know what? When you look at the New Testament, although the word pastor is the one that we use most often, the most frequently used word for this office in the New Testament is the word elder, all right? So the elder is the man of spiritual maturity who is to oversee and shepherd or pastor the people of God. He has care for them. And so the pattern's this, guys. It was of utmost importance to God to have the apostles of Jesus Christ to put elders over every church that was planted, that every Christian would have an elder, an overseer, a pastor to care for them. Beloved, listen, when you connect to a church, you are bringing yourself under the God-ordained watch care for your soul. Listen to what Hebrews 13:17. That's the next passage we want to look at here. Hebrews 13:17. It says this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Guys, what this means is that Christians need a pastor. Sheep need a shepherd. One of the podcasts that I listen to often, it has in the opening, it says, "We are not your pastors." And so this Sunday, your butt better be in a pew somewhere, is what it says there. I mean, we get people all, I mean, we can listen to preachers on TV, we can listen to preachers on podcasts, on the internet, all over the place. But they are not your pastors. They might be a preacher, they might deliver the word, they might feed you from afar, but they cannot shepherd you. Christians need a shepherd. And the cynics in the room are going to say, "Oh, preacher, you're just saying that because you are power hungry and self-important." No, I'm not. And if you're in Bible fellowship this morning, you see the load that every pastor has there from 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm so thankful this morning that we got to study that passage this morning. But here's the deal. I'm saying this not because I'm power hungry and self-important. I'm saying this because I'm a preacher of the Word, and the Word clearly says that every Christian needs a shepherd, and I love you enough to tell you that. Scripture says that every Christian needs watch care, and the watch care that God's ordained, that He's provided, is through the local pastorate, a local church with a local pastor, guys. And so let me just say this morning, guys, that's why church membership is so important. That's why it's such an important thing. You see, when a Christian commits to church membership, he is officially placing himself under the watch care of the pastor. That's when it's official. Church membership is the way to officially say, for a Christian to officially say, "I'm yours, buddy. Watch over me." Those who value the church value church membership. Now, Jack and Grace, they met through a mutual friend. I mean, from day one, they seemed to be the perfect match. Grace was everything Jack had always wanted. Man, she was beautiful. She was outgoing. She was caring. Always there when Jack needed her. And for the first 5 months, they were inseparable. Man, they were always together. Jack could hardly think of anything but Grace. And he didn't need to look further, he told his friends. She's the one. Now almost 3 years have passed. Jack still enjoys the comfort. He enjoys the familiarity of being with Grace, but the spark's kind of gone. You see, at this point, Grace's flaws are more obvious. He's not sure that he finds her as attractive as he once did, and he's beginning to resent all the time that she wants to spend with him. And so one night, Grace asks him, "Can we define our relationship?" And Jack blows up. "We're together all the time, aren't we? I mean, isn't that enough? We're together." Obviously, Jack, he's not ready for a commitment yet. And it's unclear if he will ever be ready for a commitment. Have you ever been in a relationship like that? Guys, God has a better plan for you, a better plan for your life. He wants you to be in a relationship that is defined by passion and commitment. And there are millions of Jacks walking around today. But before we move on, I want you to understand that Grace isn't a girl. Grace is a church. That's how Josh Harris's book, Stop Dating the Church, that's how his book begins. So I want to say to you this morning, some of you, you've been dating Eastwood for quite a while. You've been attending, you've been getting involved, and I thank God for you. I am so glad that you're here. For some of you, it's been months. Some of you, it's been a year. For some of you, it's been years. I mean, for some of you, it's gone past dating. It's like you're cohabitating now. I mean, you know, it's like common law membership, if there was such a thing. I mean, I'm thrilled you're here. Don't stop coming. But at first, you were really thrilled, man. But the longer you've dated us, the more flaws you see. You see my inadequacies as a pastor. You see Mark's faults. You see the members' warts. You see the church's blemishes that stand out to you more and more and more. I'm happy to admit to you, I don't want to hide this. Eastwood is an imperfect church. It is. and it's made up of imperfect people. But do you know what overcomes these shortcomings? Loving commitment. That's what overcomes these shortcomings. When you say, I'm going to commit to this body of believers and love this body of believers, warts and all. Too often, guys, we want people to accept our warts, but we don't want to accept their warts. All right. Okay. Some people got some warts, apparently. Listen, if you've been dating the church, again, I thank the Lord for you. But can I just gently, because I love you, I want to encourage you this morning to stop dating Eastwood and make a commitment by becoming a member of Eastwood Baptist Church soon. We already love you. If you've been coming and you've been getting involved, we know you. We already love you. And we can't wait for you to show your love back to us by connecting to the church. For those of you who are new, man, you hadn't been around long enough to know whether or not you want to connect to us, if you want to commit to us, and that's okay. Take your time. But I pray that you wouldn't stretch it out and stretch it out and stretch it out. I pray that you, within a reasonable time, would commit to this church and come under the God-ordained watch care for your soul. So every Christian should love the church. Every Christian should connect to the church. Finally, this morning, every Christian should engage in the church. So why? Why should every Christian engage in the church? Well, here's the answer. Because engaging in the church promotes your good and the good of the church. The final passage we're going to look at this morning is Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. We could have chosen 1 Corinthians 12. We could have went there. But we're going to look at Romans 12, 4 through 8. The Word of God says this: For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are not one. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the other who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Beloved, plain and simple, if you would say, Pastor, what does that passage mean? It means this: we need one another. We need one another. Church is a team sport. Just like football. I mentioned a moment ago, it's football season. But just picture a football field for a moment. There are linemen, there are running backs, there are receivers, there are quarterbacks, there are linebackers, defensive backs, and yeah, even kickers, all right? There are kickers. And they all have different skill sets. It takes every one of them to make a championship team. Just think about this for a moment. What if a football team were all linemen? I mean, that's what I was when I played football. I mean, what if they were all me? Man, that'd be the slowest team on the planet. You know what I'm saying? And there would be no food left over at the pregame meals, that's for sure, all right? But there would be nobody to pass the ball. There'd be nobody to run the ball. There'd be nobody to catch the ball. If football were all running backs, man, there'd be nobody to block. There'd be nobody to pass the ball. I mean, you get what I'm saying? I mean, I could go on and on with that illustration. It takes all those different skill sets to be successful on the football field. And according to Romans 12 right here, the same is true for the church, guys. This is a team sport. It takes every single one of us. We're one body. Members of one body. Can I just say this morning, when you're not here, we miss you. We miss you. And when you are here, and when you're not engaged in using your God-given talents, your God-given abilities, your God-ordained experience, then the church is not what it could be. It's not what it could be. It's like a man who's had his foot amputated. I mean, can he get by? Yeah, he can get by, but he's not going to thrive. And so without you, when you miss or when I miss, we are not thriving because it takes every single one of us, every single one of you. Guys, if God brought you here, that he has a purpose for you here. He has a gift that he wants you to use here. Didn't Paul say that? Let us use our gifts. And I pray you would engage for that purpose. You know, Romans here is telling us that it's not all about the individual. And I know, again, this is swimming against the culture of the day because we live in an individualistic culture. So many times in church, we simply are looking for what I can get out of it. Can I just say praise God that you get something out of it? I mean, I thank God for that. But let's be honest, sometimes you're not going to get anything out of it. The preacher's going to be flat, or you didn't get enough sleep, or whatever. There's some sort of dynamic there. Sometimes you're going to get something out of it, and sometimes you won't. But that should not be our only goal. Every one of us, when we come to church, we should be looking for this goal also, to put something into it. I don't want to just see what I can get out of it. I want to put something into it. And here's what I promise you. Listen to me. If you will always get something out of it if you put something into it. I promise you, man. Every time. Honey, are we going to church this morning? Absolutely. The people at church need us. I pray you look at yourself and say that. I pray that your spouse next Sunday and even this Wednesday night would say that. Beloved, you need to engage in the church for your own good and for the good of the church, the people around you. Every Christian should love the church, connect to the church, and engage in the church. Now, you're here this morning potentially, and you've not yet taken that first step. Before you can love the church, you've got to first love Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never come to that point in your life when you have repented of your sin and you've believed on Christ. You've never placed your faith and love in Jesus. I pray this morning, maybe you've already understood this to be true, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Christ died and lived to save you. And his arms are open wide for every one of you who will hate your sin and love Jesus and follow Jesus. He will save you. So I don't want to neglect that this morning. I pray this morning, today would be the day that you take the first step to loving the church by first loving Jesus, by surrendering your life to Christ in faith and love. And for the rest of us, once we've loved Jesus, then we should love the church, connect to the church, and engage in the church. Here's my final prayer. Here's my final prayer. May we prize the church until Jesus returns to take her home.